This is the Raptors Abroad podcast. What is going down, my people? This is your boy Sam, chilling in London, UK, ready to break down game 35 of the Toronto Raptors 2014-2015 NBA season. Why? Because this is the Raptors Abroad podcast, and I live abroad. I'm in London, UK. A good 5 hours ahead of Eastern Standard Time, which makes regular ball games past my bedtime. You used to have to stay up into the middle of the night, chasing feeds on Sopcast and myp2p.eu for you old school internet guys. And other NBA fans abroad that used to chase your games at 2, 3, 4 a.m. clocking finals and West Coast ball games. Well, no more. I have NBA League Pass. I don't need to worry about that anymore. I just clock the game at my leisure. In fact, today, I started to check out Game 35, which was the Raptors versus the Charlotte Hornets at home. And I got a call, and I had to put it on pause for a good 5 hours. Because sometimes life happens, and I got to do stuff outside of my Raptors, which hurts. I wish I could do this 24/7. So I'm a freak like that. That's why I got this podcast. All right, so let's get into it, shall we? The Toronto Raptors, at the start of this ballgame, at 24-10. Coming off dropping 3 straight for the first time since trading Rudy Gay to the Sacramento Kings. So a bit of a low point here for the Raptors, and starting to hurt without our boy DeMar. So more on that after the breakdown. So the Raptors taking on the Charlotte Hornets, Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets, who have actually a pretty weak record at 13-24, but they have been coming on strong as of late. They dealt with some injuries, and they got some pretty talented players in Kemba Walker, Gerald Henderson, and you'll hear a little bit more of them, more about them later on in the podcast, don't you worry. All right, so first quarter we go. I'm going to go deep into the first quarter. The Raptors getting beat on both ends, turning the ball over and not able to get any stops. And the Hornets break out to a 10-point lead. Booyah. Right off the bat, they're up 10 about halfway through the quarter. Luckily for the Raptors, we've got some threats from deep. And unfortunately, we've been relying on it a little bit too much lately, which is part of the reason we've going into this game with 3 straight losses, but sometimes it's fun to watch. And in this game, in the first quarter, at the 4:30 mark and the 4:17 mark, we got 3 balls from Grevis Vasquez and Kyle Lowry, and that cut the Hornet lead down to 4, 18-14. However, the Hornets respond with Bismack Biyombo, big athletic guy who hasn't quite worked out yet, but definitely got the physique to be a decent ball player if he can work on his skills a little bit, which I think he can. He comes back with the and-one layup, which I don't remember him finishing. It was a pretty acrobatic shot. And he drains a free throw. So he gets one of those three balls back. But the Raptors also have a weapon in Sweet Lou Williams. It's amazing how many times he is able to pull this off. 3:14 mark, Lou Williams. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you can probably call it yourself. Drives to the left side, does his little hesitation, drop shift, dribble. He's got Gerald Henderson on him. He reaches. And Lou, like, he knows it's coming, so he's already elevating. He's not even focusing on the foul. He's already focusing on the rim. And drifting a little bit to his left, drains the floater. Which is nice to see, because lately that floater hasn't been falling for him. It's been rimming out. So Lou Williams getting that and one early in his playing time. However, the Hornets respond to that with an 8-2 run. And with 20 seconds to go in the quarter, Jason Maxiel hits a jumper. And the lead is back up to 10. 31-21. So again, the Raptors coughing up 31 points, or 30 plus points in a quarter in the first. I mean, just cannot hold guys to 25 or less. It's getting painful out there to watch this defense. Lou Williams, though, continuing to do work. He hits a left baseline floater. And James Johnson also saves us, too, with a sweet block on Kemba Walker at the buzzer. Walker got all the way to the basket, and James Johnson came out of nowhere to erase a layup. Save two. And the Raptors only down 8 at that point, 31-23. Rough first quarter, not exactly what we were expecting, being back home after a 6-game road trip, which did not exactly go as we had hoped. Alright, so second quarter we go. The Raptors, the first 2 minutes, get this. Back-to-back three balls from Grevis Vasquez? And I know I said we had some threats from deep, but you don't think about this guy too often. Tyler Hansbrough. In the left corner, draining a three ball, and the Raptors are only down 1, 31-30. Nice little run. And Hansbrough, I'll tell you, like I said, I've said it many times, he is the leading scorer in ACC history. I know he played 4 years and a lot of great players came out early, but still, there's some good guys. I mean, why would he be the leading scorer of all time if he couldn't score? It seems like that shot. I mean, I don't know how he was scoring. I didn't really watch him that much in college. I guess he must have just been all in the paint. And now doesn't quite have the size, but it seems like he's been working on that three ball. I hear he's been working on it in practice. And I remember early in the season he drained a couple. So if Hansbrough can get that going, that'll be nice. And just after that, too, Lou Williams at the 9:17 mark. I had to rewind this a couple of times. He has a deep three from the left wing. Just go in and out. It rims all the way around. And I'll tell you, this ball, I paused it. It was more than halfway down. Like, the equator of the ball was well past the rim for a full revolution all the way around inside. And then I was able to squirt up and just spin out off the front of the rim. Painful. But James Johnson, continuing to impress. He had a couple of incredible plays here. 8:05 mark, a huge block at the rim. This time on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's a big boy. He's been playing some good ball lately. James Johnson comes up to deny him. And then at the 7:23 mark, JJ with the left baseline drive. And he just goes up and hammer dunks it with two hands on Jason Maxiel. Absolutely beautiful play. And gets the foul. Took hard contact underneath. It was pretty incredible, too, because he went up. And usually these guys with the tomahawk dunks, they'll put it behind their neck or something. He just kind of cocked it a little bit. And the second his hands were near the rim, he just kind of wrapped his hands over and threw it down real quick before the defender's hands could get there. Beautiful play. What was not beautiful, though, was whoever was directing this Raptors game, because we did not get to see that in live action. I had to see that in replay and just heard Matt Devlin call it because they were showing some graphic of Kyle Lowry and his All-Star votes. Which, great, I'm happy for you to plug that, but I want to see the game when it's happening. Luckily, there was a good replay, though. Unfortunately, though, they were able to get the screen back to show me James Johnson missing the free throw, so he did not finish the three-point play. But it was still a beautiful dunk nonetheless. Hornets up to 37-35. 4:28 mark. Two-Pat. Patrick Patterson has been quiet lately. He was pretty devastating in the middle of this first part of the season here, but the last few games, haven't heard a lot out of him. Two-Pat, though, finding Kyle Lowry sitting up in the right corner for three. He drains it. Hornet lead still at 2, 42-40. And then Two-Pat coming back into the podcast at the 2:47 mark. Left wing, three ball, nothing but net. Hornet lead down to 1, 46-45. Raptors surging. And just a minute and 57 seconds later, at the 57-second mark, Kyle Lowry scooping up a loose ball. I think it was T. Ross. Someone got blocked at the rim, but it went all the way back up to Lowry. He scoops it up, drives, elevates, take the contact, finishes off glass, and one. And that gives the Raptors their first lead of the ball, or since it was 4-3 in the first quarter. So it's 50-48 with the made free throw. And the lead was the same, 52-50 at half. So Raptors do a decent job of coming back there, still giving up 50 points. I would really love to see them on pace to hold a team under 100. And then to add insult to injury for the Bobcats, or sorry, for the Hornets. Still hard to get used to that, but for the Hornets, their head coach, Steve Clifford, gets a technical foul because he felt like Kemba Walker got fouled at the buzzer, which he may have. It looked like he got blocked, but I didn't go see the replay. So he gets a tech, which Lowry starts the second half by draining a technical free throw. So Raptors with a three-point lead. So good news for the Raptors, right? Well, the good news lasted for just as long as that technical free throw. Because after that, the Hornets start the half on a 14-0 run. And it was slow and painful. It wasn't a quick burst. Like, I took a note, 6-0 run, 8-0 run, 10-0 run, 12-0. They just kept chipping away. Raptors missing shots, turning the ball over. Hornets making shots. Raptors with no field goals for the first 5.5 minutes of the half. And finally, at the 6:30 mark, Kyle Lowry draining a straightaway three, giving the Raptors their first field goal of the quarter. And they are down 9 off of that, 64-56. So, I mean, just not exactly what we were expecting coming out of the half. I don't know what Steve Clifford said. He must have fired his squad up because they were running things. And then even with that Lowry three, the Hornets kept pouring it on. And at 3:19 mark, Kemba Walker drains a jumper and the Raptors are down 15. 71-56. So being outplayed by 18 points at that point in the quarter. Brutal. The Sweet Lou to the rescue. Thank goodness for this guy. At the end of the third, he has a little nifty and one drive. Drains a free throw. Raptors down 10, 71-61. And then makes a gorgeous play with a little pump fake. Getting Gary Neal in the air. Draws the contact. Shooting a three ball with just 0.4 of a second left. Huge play by Sweet Lou. Makes all three free throws. Raptors are only down. I mean, only down, but it felt like it at that point. Only down 9 going into the fourth. 75-66. And then to keep the momentum going, Grevis Vasquez comes back into the picture. He starts the quarter with a three ball, and suddenly the Raptors are within two possessions. 75-69. Feeling like the momentum is all the way on our side. And then on the defensive end, James Johnson. Just wowing people with his athleticism. 11:07 mark. Gets his third block of the game. I think he had 4 in this one, but gets his third. On Gary Neal, looked like he had a wide open lane, but to lay it in, and JJ just comes out of nowhere to erase that with the left hand. He's so athletic. And, he's probably not going to see a replay of it, but he jumps off his right foot and swats with his left, and that's not his, it's not his strong leg, but he's just so athletic. It's almost like he's ambidextrous with his legs, if that makes any sense. I know he's not with his hands, but it seems like with those Euro steps, and it doesn't seem to matter which leg he jumps off, we can get almost the same amount of elevation. Such an athletic player. And man, I'll tell you what, he did the halftime interview. God, I love that guy's accent. Not exactly sure where James is from, but the way he talks is awesome. Check him out. My new favorite Raptor. And another new favorite Raptor of mine strikes just 27 seconds later. Sweet Lou Williams hits a fading mid-range jumper. And he had also made 2 free throws just before the JJ block. And the Hornet lead is down to 2. 75-73. Feeling good. 9:58 mark. James Johnson showing off the hops again. Power drive goes up and just outhangs his defender. He went up with 2 hands and then clutched it down, and on the way down, kind of a Vince Carter shot. Vince used to do this all the time. And just flipped it up with his right hand off glass. Off the bottom of the backboard too, but just nice and clean. Didn't catch any rim at all. Just backboard and then swish. Super athletic play. I tell you, dude needs to get more props. He is a highlight waiting to happen at all times. Alright, so fast forward 8:08 mark. Kyle Lowry trying to enter a Marvin Williams 3. He draws 3 free throws, goes to the line, misses 1, but he makes 2. So with that, the Raptors down 5, 82-77. And then 6:06 mark, James Johnson again, just blowing people's minds. This will definitely be in the highlight package. Lou Williams, with a little dribble drive, he tries a little fading mid-range jumper. Misses pretty badly off back iron, but James Johnson comes flying in from the right baseline, extends fully with the left arm, and gets a hand on it, and somehow he's able to direct it in to the basket off glass. One of those plays that has you absolutely shaking your head. Crazy skills and crazy athleticism, and with that, the Raptors just down 3. One possession game, 82-79. However, Marvin Williams, the North Carolina product, entering with another big three ball. People forget about this guy. He was the number 2 overall pick, and he played on a good North Carolina team. And he was somewhat underwhelming, but dude's been a solid pro. He's been around for a while now, and he hits a big shot there. But luckily for the Raptors, we've got a nice young prospect as well in T. Ross, who was very quiet in this ballgame, but he drains a right corner three ball at the 5:29 mark, cuts the Hornet lead down to three yet again, 85-82. However, Gerald Henderson, 3:17, this guy had a heck of a ball game. He drains a couple of free throws at the 3:17 mark, pushes the lead back to seven. Kyle Lowry, though, bites back. Nice little pull-up three. 2:49 mark. Raptors down 5, 92-87. But Gerald Henderson, I tell you, this guy, I've talked about him enough in the podcast. I'm a big fan. He's so athletic. And when you see him play, he's kind of like JJ. He's got that extra athleticism. He really reminds me of a young Kobe. He really does. I don't know why he doesn't have more consistent big games, because everything looks right about his game. And so coming off that Lowry 3, Gerald Henderson, he answered with a baseline jumper. And then the 1:54 mark, Kemba Walker. It looked like it was already over, and he just put the nail in the coffin with a three ball. Raptors down 10, 97-87. And they fought back a little bit. T. Ross with a steal, and with the 42-second mark, gives it up to Amir. Takes it into the basket and misses, but Amir tips in his miss. But it was too little too late. Raptors lose 103-95. Yikes. So that is four straight Raptors at home losing to a team well under 500. I realize they're streaking, but yikes. And the Raptors well rested. We've had a few days off now. Didn't play since Monday. Sunday even. Jeez, that is really a pretty shocking loss, to be honest. And check out the Hornets. I'm going to the box score here. They got big performances out of Gerald Henderson and out of Kemba Walker. Henderson 13 of 20 for 31. And Kemba Walker 12 of 25 for 29. He also had 8 assists and 7 rebounds. Henderson had 5 and 3. And then they had Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. 10 points, 12 rebounds, and Marvin Williams had 13 points, 9 rebounds. They were just too much for us. I mean, they outshot us. We really hung on to the ball much better than the Raptors. I mean, you take a look at the Raptors' numbers here, and it's just not enough guys showing up. I mean, no one really stood out aside from James Johnson, and he really did not get enough run in this ballgame. Not enough touches. He's only 3 of 5. I mean, only 5 shots for JJ, and he was playing really well. He had 4 blocks, like I said, 4 rebounds, and Tyler Hansbrough chipping in. 19 minutes, he was 4 of 4 for 9 points, 5 rebounds. Lowry, though, 7 of 22. That's a tough one. He did not shoot the ball that great in this one, and he was pretty cold down the stretch, and that is, you know, I don't want to say that's what cost us the ball game, but down the stretch, that's where we needed some of those points. And that is brings me to my next point of where we are really missing our boy DeMar DeRozan. And I checked out a nice little interview from him on Raptors.com. Apparently, he's just a couple of games away. Hopefully, we're going to see him at or before this we meet the Atlanta Hawks. So the Raptors got a couple of, and I think he was sitting out because he figured the Raptors got a couple of easy W's here. I mean, we just took on Charlotte, which should have been a win. And then coming up, we've got Boston on Saturday and Detroit Pistons, who have actually been playing well for some reason since dumping Josh Smith. Seems to have turned them around. They've won a few games in a row. But the Raptors, I mean, these are all home games. Boston is 12-21, and Detroit is, I don't even know, but I think worse than them. They also have an under 500 record. So, really hoping we can right the ship here, because this is hurting. And I'm trying not to get too down, because to be honest, if you were to give me, at the start of the season, tell me that the Raptors were going to be at any point sitting at 24-11 at third in the East, I'd be pretty happy. But right now, I mean, Atlanta Hawks have been absolutely on fire. They've won 6 in a row, 9 out of their last 10. They're at 27-8. Chicago now, with that Raptor loss, they weren't able to hold on to a tie for second. So we're sitting in tied for third now with Washington. And Cleveland is quite a few games behind us at 19-17. So a little bit of room there between the top of the pack and the middle. But really missing DeMar. And I'll tell you, I didn't realize it was going to be on the defensive end so much. But apparently that's the difference. Because the Raptors have absolutely collapsed on the defensive end. We're now giving up 101.7 points per game. Still scoring 107.7, but giving up 101 is not going to win you a lot of ball games. I mean, you really got to be on fire every game to pull up a W, so that needs to be brought in order. Definitely need to be holding a team at least under 100 if you want to be consistently winning ball games. So tough loss there. You know, I'm fired up. I'm upset. I mean, I'm fired up. I'm glad I got this podcast. If I didn't have this podcast, it'd just be me sitting here all choked, all gutted here in London, just venting at my dog. And I'll tell you, these games, it's not good for my dog. Me and my dog Snoop, he sits right next to me, like he is right now. He's totally blessed and tired right now, but he sits right next to me, and when things are going bad, he gets scared. I get a little too fired up, and he's got to walk away. It's cost, you know, when we have these tough stretches like this, it costs me bonding time with my dog. What do you think about that? Alright, so that's it for this Raptors Abroad podcast. Thanks for checking it out. I'm your boy Sam, and I will be back with you after the Raptors hopefully defeat the Boston Celtics on Saturday. Big love from London. Peace.